Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Lonnie Sporting Goods has the best selection of firearms, hunting items, and all types of outdoor gear from the best brands. If you want reliability, durability, and performance, Lonnie Sporting Goods in Corinth is your destination. Check out our Facebook at Lonnie's.SportingGoods.
You're listening to the Rebel Report Podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Glad to see you on this Thursday night. The last Thursday without football for a long time. Week zero is here, but this is the last weekend for you without Ole Miss football. It is here. It is finally here. And I'm going to be honest with you. I do not complain about my job. My job is awesome. I'm very thankful to have been a part of Super Talk Mississippi for almost 10 years now and the radio show for 8 years now and then doing this podcast with you guys a lot shorter time than that, but still very happy to be doing what I'm doing every day. However, I am kind of sick of talking season. I'm fed up with it. I'm ready for real, actual football. We're going to get some of it this weekend. We're going to do game previews next weekend, all that stuff. It's finally here. But this is like the last week of just kind of talking through narratives and stuff, getting ready for the season. And I don't know about you. I'm ready for this to end. I'm ready for actual football. And we don't have much longer to wait. But we did get a preseason All-SEC team from the SEC coaches. We'll look at that. Six players for Ole Miss made the All-SEC team. Also got some details. Good reporting from David Eckert on Kiffin's buyout, which we already kind of know it's small and that's, you know, it is what it is. The coaches leaving buyout is always significantly smaller than coaches getting fired by out. It is what it is. But Chris Beard's new contract says a lot, and we'll get to that. And then also the Chucky Mullins Award has been given out, and an interesting twist on how that's going to be honored this year. So we'll talk about all of that, your comments, and more of this edition, or on this edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. I am very, very glad that you guys are here and appreciate you, as always, hanging out with me as we get closer and closer to the start of the college football season. Don't forget to like this video, subscribe to the channel, leave a comment if you're watching after the fact. And if you have not already, please subscribe to the podcast wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And this edition, just like every edition of the Rebel Report, is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. Injuries in life sometimes just happen to us. We hope they never do. Hope you can get through clean. For example, yesterday, found a scratch on my little man's leg. I have no idea where it came from. He couldn't tell me where it came from. It's there now, though. He gets injured like that every so often because he's a toddler. Unfortunately, sometimes it gets much worse than that in our lives. If you have been personally injured, or you may also have like a small business situation that you need legal advice for, or a contract dispute, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. He's in Saltillo, Mississippi, but if you're in this state anywhere, you don't have to be in Saltillo to use his services. If you need personal injury, small business legal advice, or contract disputes, DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, has got you covered. 662-397-9799. Do not delay. If you need that help, call DJ today. 662-397-9799. DJ Gregory and the Gregory Law Firm presenting the Rebel Report. So, all SEC teams from the coaches were released just a little bit earlier today. On the first team, Ole Miss had three players on the first team, Trey Harris, Caden Prescorn, no surprise for either one. I still maintain that even though we talk about Trey Harris all the time, we are almost still underappreciating what kind of receiver he is. The SEC coach is not making that mistake. A healthy Caden Prescorn is absolutely a first-team All-SEC guy. On defense, Walter Nolan made the first-team All-SEC defensive line. next to Walker from Kentucky, who's going to be a handful for Ole Miss when the Wildcats come to town, by the way. Just keep that one in the back burner for when that game comes along. On the second team, you had Princely Umanmielen. I think I'm saying that name slightly incorrectly, by the way. Princely is on the second team for the second team defensive line. And third team, Ulysses Bentley made third team All-SEC. The running back, obviously, for Ole Miss. Jared Ivey also made third team defense on the defensive line for Ole Miss. So you might be ears perked up because there's an omission on this list, and we'll start there. So what does the All-SEC teams say about Ole Miss? And like I said, I mean, we're really kind of stretching ourselves thin for content, so forgive me if I'm stretching on a couple of these takes. But this one I think is a little bit obvious, is Jackson Dart must prove it. He, as you guys know, was not my vote at Media Days. Or excuse me, this was not how I voted at Media Days. I am, frankly, the more I think about it and the more you look at last year, the more I am very underwhelmed with Quinn Ewers. Now, I know NFL people love him. And they love all this stuff that he does and his arm strength and the raw talent. But when it comes to actually, you know, playing the game of football last season, he wasn't just this surefire top five pick. He didn't play like that anyway last year. I'm not as impressed with his actual performance on the field as other people are. But he was second team. You had Carson Beck first team and then Jalen Milroe. Third team, Jackson Dart is just going to have to prove it, regardless of what anybody around here, whether you listening or just in the state of Mississippi, thinks about Jackson Dart. He has gotten some disrespect this offseason. It's not universal praise and expectations for him. Now that I've said that, you saw, or you may have seen, there was a Heisman odds list that had Jackson Dart at third that I saw like right before I came on here with you guys. So it's not like he's getting disrespected everywhere, but when it comes to these All-SEC teams and the preseason accolades, when it comes to this conference and this region of the country, Jackson Dart's not getting as much love as you think a third-year starting quarterback that had the season that he had a year ago, that has the weapons that he has, should get. He has got to prove it. People are still kind of in wait-and-see mode on Jackson. He was much better in 23 than he was in 22, especially on the intermediate to deep passes. He got a lot better there. I think that although they lose Judkins, I think as a totality, his weapons are much better this year, and they should be better up front on the offensive line. And the schedule is a little bit easier on top of it also. He's poised to have a really, really, really big year, but still a lot of people are in wait-and-see mode. Jackson Dart's going to have to prove it to some people. The second one, defensive line is respected, especially transfers. Now, if you've listened to Lane Kiffin's, any of his press conferences during training camp or anybody that has covered the team in any capacity, apparently they are just thrilled with how the defensive line looks, both physically and just like the sheer size and the depth of size that they have on the defensive line, and also the high-end ability. But more specifically, when I look at who made these All-SEC teams, sometimes a transfer can get hyped more than what reality says they actually are. Like Shea Patterson, to use an example that you guys recognize. When he transferred to Michigan, the hype that he got around Michigan did not match what he actually was on the field. And so people that saw him play more intimately were like, wait, hold on, Heisman or bust? What are you guys talking about? He's not a Heisman player. When it comes to Walter Nolan and Princely specifically, there's a lot of hype here locally about what they can be, how good they are, what their upside is, potential first-round caliber players. Now, I saw a mock draft that didn't have either one in it, but talk to anybody, they think that they can be first-round players. Now, there's some confirmation, and who knows exactly how seriously these coaches take these lists. I don't know. But the coaches' poll, for whatever it's worth to you, does affirm what you guys think about these players, because these are SEC coaches that played against these guys and put them on first and second team on the defensive line, the deepest position group in the league year in and year out. Maybe not this year, but year in and year out it is typically. It's definitely the deepest in college football. And so I think that's confirmation that, you know, this isn't a Shea Patterson situation where it's a former five-star that's transferring and, you know, hasn't been impressive, but they're getting hype anyway. The coaches that have played against these guys are selecting them where they are because they actually can be and are what they think that they are. And then finally, I think the secondary is underrated in this at Ole Miss. And by underrated, I mean they were not selected at all. Now, I understand why, like, Trey Amos was not picked on any of these teams. Just, you know, was not a full-time starter at Alabama, although when he played, he was phenomenal. I wouldn't be shocked at all if by the end of this season you're looking at him on a first or second team All-SEC. So that I understand, that lack of selection, but no love at all for Trey Washington or John Saunders. And while I don't think either one of them are like first round pick kind of safeties, I think they're more good to very good than great. I mean, they're quality football players, but you know, there's greatness. And then I think they're a tier below like truly great, but I think that they're good. You're very stable on the back end of your defense. So I do like the secondary. I wonder about depth at corner is where I have questions, is depth there. But when you look at the starters and then the depth at safety, that secondary didn't get any love in the preseason All-SEC. By the end of the season, there's a real chance that you have one, if not more, selection there in the back end of your defense in the All-SEC teams. I think they're better than they were given credit for, at least from the coaches going into this season. So that's item number one. Number two, Chris Beard. David Eckert did some good reporting, got the contract details from both Kiffin and Beard. But I do want to, I mean, just a quick thought here. I know it's not basketball season, but I mean, we knew that he got a big contract. But when you look at it in this context, it makes it even more glaring. Chris Beard's new salary at Ole Miss is $5 million a year. Now, this isn't last year, but if this was last year, he would have been comfortably in the top 10 earners in all of college basketball. Still might be. I tried to find an updated list and didn't have one. But he will be around a top 10 salary in all of college basketball. That is important for two reasons. One, the fact that Ole Miss is financially committed to basketball is something that I love that they are trying. I love that Ole Miss and the rest of the SEC, frankly, but Ole Miss has recognized that they have an opportunity to become nationally relevant in basketball. They, for lack of a better phrase, lucked into the opportunity to hire a coach that wouldn't have considered them otherwise. And they fought off Arkansas to keep him. And I love that Ole Miss is trying to win in basketball because I have maintained for a long time that it was possible. Can they be UConn? Well, of course not. But can they make the tournament with semi-regularity? I think they can. This is a state that has proven that it does care about basketball. And as I rant to you guys all the time, meaningful college basketball is intoxicating. It really is. Late February home basketball games that have NCAA tournament stakes on them from an atmosphere perspective, it's really hard to beat. And you guys got a taste of that last year with Auburn and Mississippi State, especially those two games, Memphis earlier in the season. You got to feel that again. And knowing that they are trying to capture that is, to me, I think that's a great thing. Not only for the university investing in basketball, I think the ROI on that can be good. Now, it's risky. It's a lot of money. The ROI on that can be good. I think that the roster that they've been able to put together, thanks to NIL and you guys and some big-time donors, is one that can, and the expectation should be, to make the tournament. It's very exciting. Keith Carter has talked a lot about winning in all sports, winning in basketball. And it's easy to say that you want something, and it's different to put your money where your mouth is. And this is Keith Carter and Ole Miss very clearly financially committing to basketball, not only with this massive salary that Chris Beard is earning, but also in NIL. Could they have more? Probably. But what they've put together roster-wise is impressive when you consider a lot of people think that basketball is the third most popular sport on the Ole Miss campus. Seeing that investment, I think, is awesome. There's a chance that they can be a tournament team this year, and frankly, that should be the expectation, especially with this salary bump. But I love that they're truly going all in on basketball, because it is, like I said a second ago, it's intoxicating. Meaningful February and March basketball is something else, and they are trying to bring it to Ole Miss, and Keith Carter is absolutely putting his money where his mouth is. And finally, before we get to your comments, J.J. Pegues is your Chucky Mullins Award winner. Interesting way that he's going to go about wearing the uniform. So he's going to wear the number 38 at home, and he's going to wear his regular jersey on the road with the patch, the 38 patch on his chest. And we've talked in the past about this. If you guys remember, if you've listened to me long enough, you know that I think that that jersey should be worn. I do not think a patch should be worn. I think the jersey should be worn, and you should give it to a player that will wear the number 38. That story and that name is too important to Ole Miss football, and should be too important for like the institution as a whole to let slip into just a patch. I know that's, you know, splitting hairs a little bit, but I think that the number 38 should be worn on the field because of his story and the impact that it had. It should be visible. However, jersey numbers matter to a lot of guys. Mine didn't really, but I know that it matters to a lot of people, and you can kind of get some insight on that when the Ole Miss put the videos out, and Pegues is talking to his father, I believe, and let him know that, hey, I'm going to wear the 38, but I'm still going to wear 89, you know, on the road. I have to represent, I believe is the exact phrase that he used. And that told me that that number that he's chosen means something to him. And so I think that's a nice compromise because, again, jersey numbers do really matter to people. But I think the 38 matters a whole hell of a lot to Ole Miss football. And so knowing that you're going to get to see that on the field this year, 38 is going to be worn in Vaught-Hemingway Stadium this year. And I think it needs to be every single season. I think it needs to be on that field. But for whatever that the purpose of JJ's number is, also getting to be worn at the same time, is for whatever it's worth, I'm totally okay with it. I think that's a nice touch, and he'll have the patch on the 89 as well. But I do think that when Ole Miss is playing football in Vaught-Hemingway Stadium, 38 needs to be on the field, and that's coming back. And from all accounts, could not go to a better guy. Has absolutely earned the opportunity to wear that jersey. And JJ is a cool story. Left home and came back home, and is going to leave his mark at Ole Miss. And knock on wood, he stays healthy, and he's going to play in the NFL next year. And it's all good. I did not, for whatever it's worth, I did not like how it went. And have not liked how it's gone in the past where that jersey wasn't worn, for whatever it's worth, and it is now, which is a good thing. So we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. If you have a Mississippi business anywhere in this state, if you have a business that is in the market for office technology, so anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems, whatever it is, if it's technology in the office, your Mississippi business needs it. absms.com is the website. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. Their online banking platform is awesome. It's a one-stop shop. You don't need multiple apps like I used to with my previous bank to do whatever it is that you need to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority every single day. Deion Smith update, he's still not practicing. We'll see. Brandon, glad to see you, my friend. Glad to see you, man. Welcome in indeed. Very, very good to see you. Vegas has Ole Miss's over-under at 9.5, hypothetically speaking. Should I take the over or under? Do not follow my advice for gambling ever. Do not ever. I think that they will win more than 9.5 games this season, but do not take my gambling advice ever. Don't do it. It's just better for your health. But I do like the over. 10-2 is still what I'm holding on to. I've been like that all summer long. I think I'm going to stick with it. Would I be surprised if they won 11 games? Absolutely not. Would I be surprised if they won 9 games? No, but maybe more surprised. You say currently watching from the field at the Vault. We had band practice here tonight. Awesome, man. Awesome. Shout out to Big East for winning the Mullins Award. Wish he'd wear the full 38 number all the time, though, and not just at home. At least it's going to get worn, though, you know? Also not going to expect much respect for Dart when you have the hype machines of Beck, Milroe, and Ewers. I'd argue he's better than the latter two. Chase Parham did a great job of pulling the numbers. For all the criticism of Jackson Dart's deep ball, Carson Beck statistically is not better than him. Like, it's dead even. Literally dead even, and he is better than yours. Thoughts on Kiffin's buyout details, just for the fun of the Florida conversation. They'd be out roughly $70 million for Kiffin. Oh, my gosh. You know, it's not – I don't think his number alone is prohibitive. I really don't, because none of them are. The coaches have all the leverage in those kind of negotiations. What are you doing, honey? Look who's barging in here. Come here, sweetie. Come here, honey. It's June. What's up, sweetie? What's up, honey? Okay. Why are you barging in here? That door's supposed to be shut. And, you know, it being open is going to cause an echo and whatever. Anyway. Yeah, I don't think Florida's firing Billy Napier this year. I am willing to die on the hill that Florida is going to be better than people think. I mean, I've got Haydad over here telling me that Florida's going to go 4-8. I don't think they're going to go 4-8. Now, I don't think they're going to win 9 games with that absolutely brutal schedule, but between the financial so the cost to fire Napier is extremely high. The department's also out $22 million with this settlement, and They're finally getting their NIL situation together, I suppose. But the cost associated with that, paired with the settlement, paired with the fact that, for whatever it's worth, I think that they're going to be better than people are going to give them credit for. I think that if the Florida game for Ole Miss was like in week 3, it'd be a hell of a lot more scary than it will be in the spot that it's in. Because Florida will be in the midst. They will be in what? The third game of the worst 5-game stretch, like, in scheduling history. It's terrible what Florida's having to deal with. If that was like week 3 and they were going to the swamp and Florida was 2-0, that would be diabolical. But Ole Miss gets a nice break with where Florida is on the schedule, having a bye week before that game as well. I don't think that they're firing him this year. Would I have put Dart on the All-SEC team? Yes, I did. At Media Days, I had him as second team preseason All-SEC. Maybe I'm blinded by bias because I watch every single snap of his and I don't watch every single snap of others. And, you know, I'm kind of aware of what he means to that locker room and to that team. Maybe that slipped in. But no, that's where I put him because I think that that is an appropriate ranking. I do not think that they made the right choices at quarterback. I'm fine with a lot of the other stuff, though. I mean, I don't know much about the offensive line. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert there. Hunter and ETN being running backs are fine. Harris and Burden being first team is fine. They did okay in most of the spots. They've done really well locking down Beard. Arkansas fans will say they never considered him. Isn't that so funny how people do that? Just refuse to say that they got rejected. It's like you watched your buddy walk up to a girl at a bar, and she literally put her hand up in his face, and he walked away and said that he never asked her out. I mean, that's what's going on here. Auburn people do the same crap with Kiffin. It's so funny. I mean, it's just every other bit of evidence points to Chris Beard was offered the Arkansas job and said no. Lane Kiffin was offered the Auburn job and said no, except for their feelings. That's the only thing that tells them that that didn't happen, is their feelings. Objectively speaking, everything else tells you that they were, but whatever. Score prediction for Florida State, Georgia Tech. You're going Florida State, 31-24. Something like that. 35-31. I think Georgia Tech's going to score a little bit in this game. Does Beer's contract affect Yo's future at Ole Miss? Seems a bit insulting since she's the one that has taken a team to the tournament in the past 5 years. Let me be diplomatic here. It is not insulting at all to pay the men's basketball coach at an SEC school millions more than the women's basketball coach at an SEC school. Men's basketball is one of only two sports on campus that can make an impactful profit. Every other program, including women's basketball, loses money, women's basketball by the millions. Frankly, it would be a more sound argument that they spend too much on salary in women's basketball from a business perspective. From a business perspective, they overspend. From an emotional perspective, they don't. She's running a great program, making the tournament, recruiting really well. But now that they have to start looking at this from a business perspective with the settlement and revenue sharing, they overspend. They do. How many quarterbacks are better than Dart, and also how many quarterbacks are a better dual threat? In the SEC, I think it's only one. And I guess the question would be, if the real question would be not necessarily who's better, but if you asked Lane Kiffin and gave him truth serum, who would you rather have quarterbacking your team this year? Jackson Dart or Quinn Ewers? Jackson Dart or Jalen Milroe? What would his answer be? I think it's Dart. Sweet dog, you have an English Springer Spaniel that you love dearly. She's the best, man. And I've got a Brittany as well, but he's not as much of an attention hog as this one is. He's more independent. But yeah, she's got three legs too. I don't know if you noticed that. But here, come here, sweetie. Come here. Come here. Come here. See right there? Yep. There's no leg there, and there's supposed to be. But she's a good girl. Yes, you are. She's a really good girl. Ned, I Dean Nuremberg extradited to South Carolina. Thoughts? I have no idea what's going on there. I don't know. I've seen it. I don't know. I need to ask somebody what that's all about before I say something. I'm afraid to say anything. As an Australian listening from Australia, how do we all deal with the anticipation of the season? It's killing you. Waiting for week one. Oh man, Michael. So, do you know there's a reporter, a TV reporter out of Memphis that is from Australia that covers sports. She's a sports reporter for the TV station in Memphis. And I have to listen to all the coach and player press conferences, of course, and listening to Lane Kiffin, and in drops this Australian accent. Asked a very thoughtful and intelligent question, but I did not expect to hear an Australian accent at Lane Kiffin's press conference a couple weeks ago. But yeah, that's, I don't know why I'm talking about that. It's funny, though. She seems very, very smart and very good at what she does. But are you from here and moved to Australia? Are you Australian and you just have adopted Ole Miss? I think I've asked you that before, but please refresh my memory, because what time is it there right now? What time is it in Sydney, Australia? It's 11:30 in the morning. So night kickoffs, you're good. You're good. So, geez. The morning kickoffs, you just got to, you know, have a couple beers and stay up late, I guess. When it comes to dual threat, you don't think anyone compares to Dart? 10-2 is creeping into your mind, but we talk so negatively about LSU and then pick them to lose to them. The scheduling is really bad for Ole Miss, but they are clearly the better team. It is a game, a program taking the next step needs to win. I agree. Really, just brutal scheduling break there, but I'm with you. Would I be surprised if Texas dropped back-to-back games versus Oklahoma and Georgia? Not surprised at all. They lose to the Sooners all the time, even as the better team, and hosting Georgia right after is a bad spot. That Georgia spot for them is brutal for Texas. I'm not buying Texas yet, man. I'm really not. I wouldn't be surprised, and I know everything is new at Michigan. I mean, everything is new. But, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they went to Michigan and got beat. I'm just not in love with Texas the way other people are. I was not impressed with them last season. I really wasn't. And they got a pretty decent schedule by SEC standards. What is it, only three road games? And one of which is at Vanderbilt. So they lucked out there. But, yeah, Georgia after Red River is a brutal spot for them. How about the Frazier Mazin? Mazin, the punter? You just don't hear his name very much, so I don't remember. I'll get all the pronunciations right eventually. Comments the other day, that guy is great. Oh, he's outstanding. That was really, really funny. If you guys haven't watched it, I would encourage you to. It's on the Ole Miss YouTube page. I thought about bringing it here to you guys, but chose not to. And maybe that's a mistake because he was really funny. When you hear stuff like that in interviews like that, it personifies the player some and gives you somebody to root for sure. Florida State, Georgia Tech, that little drug fix we get before the season starts for real on Thursday. You love the week zero leading into the Thursday, Monday, week one. Me too. Ross Dellinger reported earlier today that week zero might just be the start of college football season. They are exploring that possibility because the NFL continues to take days away from college football. And as much as we all love college football, the NFL absolutely beats it 10 times over. So competing with the NFL is a bad business deal for college football. So they're trying to find ways to avoid the NFL. And moving the season up a week would be a way to do that. Fewer matchups with the NFL. So week zero might just become week one. Scouting report on Rodney Gross Jr. You're out of the loop. I'm sure Haydad has plenty to say. I would not, and maybe I'm wrong here. I haven't talked to anybody with like inside knowledge on what they expect of him, but considering the lack of production anywhere, I would be surprised if there's contribution in any meaningful way. What is it? Let's see. I don't remember the whole path. He was at UTSA, I know. He was at Mississippi State at first, did not really play at Mississippi State, had six tackles last year at linebacker. Six solo, 12 total last year for UTSA. Look, an older guy, Zach Arnett, has worked with him or at least is familiar with him, and they chose to bring him in. So I assume that Arnett gave them, you know, some positive stuff. Somebody at that age who's played some college football maybe can help you on scout teams, special teams, and if you really just get just walloped by injuries, it's somebody that's, you know, been around the block a little bit. But I wouldn't expect anything meaningful there. Arkansas fans really think they beat Ole Miss this year because the Fayetteville thing? Let them think that. You know how much a read on Missouri, either 10-2, is perfectly feasible with that schedule, but you don't know if they are a playoff team. I think that you'd take Tennessee on a neutral field top to bottom. Missouri's schedule is going to work against them. And you know, we did the exercise on the radio show. Guys, 10 wins is going to get you in the playoff in the SEC. It's just going to. 9 wins can get you into the playoff sometimes. Like the Kentucky Sports Radio guy went viral because everybody was making fun of him for saying that Kentucky had an outside shot at making the playoff at 9-3. History tells you that he's absolutely right. It's an outside shot, but it's an outside shot. Missouri's schedule is kind of a joke, though. But, man, they lost a lot. They lost a whole lot, and they lose their defensive staff. I don't know. I'm not sold. I think they're going to go to College Station and lose. I mean, they're going to go to Tuscaloosa and lose. I'm not totally convinced that they're just going to run through Oklahoma and South Carolina and State either. I'm not in love with Missouri the way I am with others in the SEC. I think I would take A&M's roster over Missouri's roster right now. Isn't that nuts? But I think I would. You were in Fremantle once, which is outside of Perth, when you were in the Navy. Well, thank you for your service, Robert, number one. And number two, I would love to go to Australia. There's a guy that I watch on YouTube. His name is Field Days. Field Days. And he and his girlfriend and their newborn baby live like out in the bush in Australia, but he does all these like 24-hour no food, like fishing and camping missions and stuff. And the coastline of Australia, away from the bush, some like the more tropical areas of Australia, is absolutely stunning. I love watching that guy. Field Days is his name. He's awesome. Anyway, 11 a.m. kickoffs are a killer. You have to get up Sunday morning roughly 5 a.m. from memory. Wow. Ugh. You just started watching and fell in love with Ole Miss. Have you been to a game yet, Michael? So you started watching football, college football, from Australia, and just fell in love with Ole Miss. That is so interesting. I hope you've been to a game yet. If not, we need to talk to some people and get you to a game and like get you sideline passes and all. Just like try our hardest to get you there, you know? Crazy how late players are still committing. The players that are doing that now don't really have anywhere to go. Different with the receiver from Utah State. His coach got fired, but Missouri gets a bye before A&M, and that game is at 11 a.m., about as friendly as it gets. Very true. A&M can easily go 10-2 if they beat Notre Dame. I agree. It was in July, really, really cold when you went to Australia. Yeah, the seasons are flipped there, huh? Is there anything better than waking up on a football Saturday with nothing else to do? I can't wait. Man, the first Saturday, so not this Saturday, but next Saturday, I have to wake up and go to a 5-year-old's birthday party. So that will start my college football Saturday. I will be at a 5-year-old's birthday party. But no, you're especially when it cools down a little bit, when you can have your coffee on the front porch when it's like 55 degrees. So like you're in sweatpants and a t-shirt and you're just a little bit chilly and you got the steam coming off your coffee, and then you pop on College Game Day and like, you know, do some laundry and some house chores, and then take that coffee and turn it into a Bloody Mary. And ooh, man, so soon. Awesome. So you've been here for an Egg Bowl. You need to come back. I imagine it's a really expensive trip, but you should come back for a regular weekend that's not like a holiday weekend, and really see how. That's awesome, though, Michael. I'm glad you're here, man. Should we be concerned about Juice Wells' health? Juice still wearing black jerseys at this point. Lane bringing in Micah Davis makes you think. Don't worry about it. If he's going through drills, it's fine. They're going to operate with a an abundance of caution. They don't need to rush to get players ready for Furman in Middle Tennessee. If he is not on the field for Wake, then I would be concerned. But they can operate with a lot of caution here because of the schedule. Last year, you were moving to Jackson, had to listen to Mercer on the radio. That sucked. Oh, my gosh. David Kellum's great, but radio, listening to the games on the radio is not something that I would do over TV, that's for sure. I mean, they are – David Kellum provides a service, for sure, for those that can't watch. But, yes, watching, it's just so much better. And I love David, and I think he's phenomenal at what he does. Just outstanding guy, too. I mean, truly just – one of one in terms of quality person. But, man, having to listen to full games on the radio would kill me. Really would. YBS Youngbloods is an awesome Australian-based fishing, diving, outdoors channel. You recommend everyone takes a look. I think he pops up on my feed sometimes because I watch Field Days so much. But been thinking a lot lately, if the Auburn job didn't come open in 2022, Ole Miss and Kiffin would have had three straight 10-win seasons, in your opinion. Yeah, at the next media days, he kind of downplayed the impact that that had on how the season went. But I think that there was something to that, for sure. Caden Lee, minimum 400 yards receiving this year. Wouldn't be surprised, especially if they kind of keep Juice and Watkins limited. You know, Watkins is that they're protecting him as well. I mean, he might not even play week one because you don't need him to. If he's banged up in any way, if he turned an ankle or whatever, he doesn't need to play against Furman. With all due respect to Furman, you don't need to risk that. So anyway, I got to run, guys. Thank you so much as always for being here. We'll be back on Sunday. Just a heads up. Next week, I will be on remote on Tuesday and Thursday. Hey Dad and I did the show in Oxford last year from College Corner, and it was incredible. So many of you showed up. I want to make it big. I want to do it bigger this year. I want to hear and see more of you. So a week from today, 3 to 6, College Corner in Oxford, come see us. Would love to meet all you guys. So I will have to get creative with our videos. I will probably have to pre-record them. Just getting home, it'll be, you know, well after 8 by the time I'm able to get home. So that might have to be pre-recorded stuff on Tuesday and Thursday of next week, just because of how the remotes shake out. But want to and need to see you guys. Need to see you guys there. So thank you, but we'll be live regular time on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday because I have to be I'll be at Northwest on Tuesday, so way up there, and then Oxford on Thursday. So again, way up there from where I sit. So probably we'll have to pre-record, and I will load them up to like schedule them to go live at 8. But that's the plan tentatively for now. Anyway, see you guys Sunday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.